Welcome to Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs, the podcast for busy and high-performing entrepreneurs and leaders who are looking to create more energy and optimize their health while upgrading their brain and personal performance with precision. I am your host, Julian Hayes II. I've been involved with health and performance for over a decade. This podcast was created for the high performer who is unapologetically ambitious, the one who moves at a fast pace and operates with an edge, the one who wants to become superhuman. Nothing here is fluff, gimmicky, or feel good. I have little to no interest in simply helping you improve your life. I want to help transform it. By listening to this podcast, expect to have a body that feels just as good as it looks. Expect to possess a swagger and style that gives off an infectious vibe. Expect to command the stage or any boardroom you walk into with your executive presence. And lastly, expect to become your most enhanced self so you can live a limitless life. Now, let's get to the show. So welcome, everyone, to another episode of Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Julian Hayes II, back at it again with another fascinating human, a superwoman, I should say. She has a laundry list of accolades and accomplishments, and she's only just getting started. And I'll just share a few here. She's the president and the only woman partner of the American Financial Resources, which is a national mortgage leader. And she's the most influential businesswoman to watch in 2021. And if you're watching this on video, you can see behind her the many accomplishments that she has. And she's a sought-after speaker, best-selling author, and the host of Positively Charged podcasts. And most importantly, she has a heart of gold, and she has a very infectious attitude. So I'm here with none other than Miss Laura Brandeo. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. And Julian, thank you so much for that lovely introduction. And it is my honor and privilege to be here with you.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic to be talking with you as well. And so it's a very interesting background that you have. I dived into your book some, and it's a lot of hard work, that you did. You know, it looks very nice right now that, you know, you're speaking, you're giving keynotes, but it took a lot of work. So I'm excited to share that with listeners.
Yeah. You know, Julian, you bring up a very good point that sometimes when you see people at the, you know, more advanced stage of their career, it looks like one day they poof arrived and all the awards and the accolades and the titles were all just given to them. But you are very correct that there's a long road before you get there, and a lot of hard work and dedication and a lot of mistakes and a lot of failure that we learned from in order to get to where we are today. So yes, thank you for that.
Very much so. And so before we start with the present and even talk about the future a little bit, let's go to the past a little bit and learn a little bit about your backstory. So growing up, what are one to two lessons that really shaped you into who you are?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I grew up in we are a very, very close-knit family. So that part of it was golden, right? We grew up very blue collar. My father was a janitor for the postal service. My mom was an office manager, okay? Like a secretary that became an office manager. The lessons that we were taught growing up is you never miss a day of work. You always give 110% to any job that you do. You're grateful. Family comes first. And most importantly, the only person that can limit you is you. Mm. No matter what you ever want to achieve, if you put hard work, dedication, focus, and energy behind it, you can achieve it. So there's four children. I'm the baby of the family. And that really was an advantage because my oldest sister is 9 years older than me. So growing up, I saw all this achievement happening from my siblings. And that right there, I had that competitive advantage. Right in that beginning, I was like, man, if they're going to be first in the class, well, then I got to be first in the class and go beyond that with doing something even better. So it really kind of helped me to be the baby of the family. And I used that as an advantage. But out of the four of us, every single one of us became top in whatever industry we went into. Not one of us did not excel beyond our capabilities. And it's just so interesting that it was all off the foundation of you give 110%, you have a grateful heart, and you never put limits on yourself.
Wow. Yeah. So salute to your family with that, just producing winners. And like you said, the foundation was built. And a lot of times when we think about jobs and how you do one thing is how you do everything. So, yeah. And this is a lesson that was told to me a long time ago, that if you're the janitor, you're going to be the best janitor. You know, so don't just wait until you think you're going to be a CEO, because those habits to become the CEO or the entrepreneur with that has a big team, those habits are instilled from day one at those early jobs.
Absolutely. And of course, you know my story. Mm-hmm. So my story of how I got into the mortgage business is I was a young mom and we couldn't afford daycare. I stayed at home. And I literally was, besides the fact I needed the money, I was bored out of my mind. So I was like, I need to do something in the evening. Well, at that time, you had two choices pretty much, because there was no gig economy when I was young. That didn't exist. Okay. There was no such thing as that. So you had two choices in those days. You either went to work in a store or you got on the phone and you called people to either sell them something, ask them a survey or something like that. And so I thought, you know what? I can do that. That's easy enough, right? I can go and get on the phone. Just what you said, Julian. Other people were miserable. They were like, oh, another person's going to hang up on me. Another person's going to say no. Now, I looked at it as, heck, I'm out of the house. I'm making a couple of bucks and I get to speak to people and not be around baby talk. So I was golden. And I looked at that as a great opportunity for me to build my communication skills and build relational skills. And those skills, I say it to this day, I'm not afraid of going up to anyone and asking them anything. I can call them, I can email them, I can go up to the face-to-face. And those early days of telemarketing, that got me over that fear.
You know, I worked at a call center after I left medical school, and I was just in transition, just trying to figure this whole thing out. And I didn't have the best attitude, but I will say, looking back on it now, that having to do like political surveys and keep people on the phone for 30 minutes and just talk about a bunch of random different things, that has really helped me now, because I can pretty much have a conversation about any and everything. And you're right, though. I remember a lot of coworkers there, because we weren't getting paid that much.
Yep.
And it was an attitude. Like, the best people that I noticed, the most successful ones who did the most surveys, they had the best attitude. Something as simple as attitude. They weren't the smartest. Nope. They just had a good attitude about it.
Nope. But Julian, isn't that everything in life? I'm sorry, none of us, again, it goes back to that limiting. Growth mindset versus fixed mindset. I promise you, before we came live, we were speaking about running a marathon. You're saying you prep for a marathon. And I said, yeah, I don't see myself ever doing that. But to be honest, what's stopping me, right? Nothing can stop me. It doesn't matter that today I have never run a marathon. If I decide tomorrow, that's my goal and I want to do that, no one can stop me but me. And if you go back to the book Mindset by Carol Dweck, right?
Very, very good book.
Right? Excellent book. Just put the word yet. No one can stop you. It's not about being the smartest, the fastest, the prettiest, the whatever-ist. The only person that can stop you is you. Because although you may not be at that best yet, that's the word.
And so, you know, your story, there was a particular story that really caught my eye in your book. It was between you and your husband. And I believe you've just gotten a raise.
Oh, yes.
And then I think one of his jobs
went away.
And So you had this big high and then this, I guess, perceived low. So during that time, do you think you always had this attitude of like, it's going to work out no matter what?
Yes. I am 100% confident that as long as I am physically able to do my job, right? As long as my brain is intact and mainly my brain, as long as my brain is there, I am not afraid of anything coming at me, because I will always be able to figure out a solution. There is a solution to everything. Now, some you take a little more time to figure out, a little more energy, but there's a solution to everything. So yes, I 100%, no matter what happens, I can figure it out. And so can you.
And so as we start to dive into your book, Say Yes Every Day, I want to first start off with, what's your superpower?
My superpower is giving other people the confidence for them to be their best.
How'd you find that superpower?
Mainly from, very early on, okay, after telemarketing days, okay, and to continue with this story of the telemarketing days, after a few months of me telemarketing, now picture it, everyone, I'm 21 years old at this time, okay? I have no college degree. I am a nighttime telemarketer with a 2-year-old son, okay? Just to give the perspective of where I am in life. I decide, after working on the phones for a few months, I want to buy a house someday. Now, again, guys, I'm making $7 an hour on the phone at night. I'm deciding I want to buy a house someday. So I get the bright idea of I'm going to go and I'm going to ask the executive how I can get more money to be able to save for this house. I don't go to a manager. I don't go to the director. I go and knock on the door of the vice president of this marketing company's office. I knock on the door. This gentleman that's in his mid-50s, remember this time, it was different than now. Okay. People were not very open to the telemarketing girl knocking on the door. It was more of, why am I wasting my time with you? Okay. And I walked in and I said, sir, I'm Laura Brandeo and I work in the evening and I want to buy a house someday. He's looking at me like I have 4 heads growing out of my body saying, and what would you like me to do? Right? Congratulations. What do you want from me? And I said, I don't want money. I don't want a raise. I want an opportunity. I want to be able to work more hours for your company. You tell me how I can accomplish that. And that gentleman said, oh, okay. Why don't you stay late, run some reports for us, and at that time, you can get more hours. So that evening, I stayed late, and the IT guy showed me how to run the reports. This goes back to that do the best job, no matter what your job is. When I ran those reports, all I had to do was print them and leave them on a desk. That was what I was told to do. That's not what I did. What I did is I analyzed the reports. I made recommendations of who would be best on what campaigns because I knew these people. These people sat next to me. I overheard them on the phone. So I knew that Julian was best working with the medical professionals because Julian is in medical school, so he knows how to speak to them. Don't put him on the other campaign because that's not his passion. I then made copies of the reports and I put them on every executive's desk because I wanted to show them how special Laura Brandeo was. Well, at that moment, I was promoted immediately and I wound up taking over that marketing company and being in charge of the entire thing by the time I was 22 years old. Where this comes in of knowing how to take people to be better than they even think they are. I realized that, Julian, you worked in a call center. You know that generally the mood in a call center is very negative. There's a lot of no's, there's a lot of down, there's a lot of feeling like there's no worth. You're not making a lot of money, like you said. You feel like you're in a dead-end job that's never going anywhere. And you feel like you're just, your life is not right. This is not a good time for you. Well, that's not what it was like working in my call center. Because my husband, Tony, I come home and I'm like, hey, Tony, I've got this idea. I need you to make a wheel of fortune. Literally, my husband built me a wheel of fortune where I would go out and I would buy prizes. And every time you got a sale or a survey, Julian, you would come up in front and you would spin the wheel of fortune and everyone would clap for Julian. And Julian was like, yes, I've got another survey that I just did and I won another prize. My people felt like they were the CEOs of the company. And when you give people that power, their gifts come out. Because then Julian would say, hey, Laura, you know, there's a new campaign coming in. It's, you know, it's contacting people that subscribe to this, you know, sports magazine. You know, I know a lot about that. All of a sudden, people started leaning into things. They felt good about coming to work. They were high-fiving each other. They were slapping each other on the back saying what great job they were doing. All of a sudden, by empowering them and allowing them to feel good and letting them shine in front of their peers, the best came out of them. And so as my career progressed and I started opening up mortgage companies, I used exactly the same philosophies as a call center. It doesn't matter. Change the industry. It doesn't make a difference what it is. When people feel good about what they're doing and they feel they're making a difference and they feel proud of the work they do, you just have to keep encouraging them, but not, you have to pay attention to if the people are in the right roles, because sometimes people are in jobs that that's not really the right fit for them. So I always watched how people, their body language, how they spoke, how when you ask them questions of how they feel about their job, and I would tweak, I would move them into different positions and I would pay attention to how they reacted to that. And so I found that my superpower is paying attention to others to put them in situations where they flourish and they're successful. And it therefore builds confidence in themselves for them to have their best life.
Yeah, I love that. You know, a couple, that's a big leadership lesson right there. When you talked about, first of all, reading the room and then also creating the environment that you want, yes. Not waiting for that environment to happen, but you create what you want. So that's being much more proactive.
I mean, but Julian, listen, picture this too. At that time, I'm a supervisor. Maybe I'm making $10 an hour, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I would go to like CVS and buy, I'll give you an example. Like if it was around Valentine's Day, I would go and buy like those candy hearts. And the next thing you know, I'd get a jar and just fill it with candy hearts. And like, we're going to have a contest of counting how many can, what did it cost me? $2 mm-hmm. for me to go and buy a jar of candy hearts and then rally everyone together to compete, to be able to get more surveys done so we could have a prize. See, it doesn't, people think you need a lot of money to be able to do these things. It's not money, it's care. You have to care about your people and really knowing that they want to be seen. They want to be heard and felt. And when you give that to someone, they will excel.
So how do we go about finding our superpower?
All right. So I have a podcast that I do on Thursday nights called Thrive Thursday. And when I was writing the book, okay, I was like, you know what? I'm going to use my guests as guinea pigs, so to speak, right? As test subjects. And so in the middle of September, I decide one of my questions was, Julian, what's your superpower? Okay. Now, Julian, let me tell you what happened the first week I said that. People got scared. They had a look of horror on their face, okay? They were like, Laura, there's nothing special here. I have no superpowers. There's nothing here. Go to the next guy. He's, you know, I don't know anything. So then I got an idea. The next week, I said to the guests, I need you to do a homework assignment before we film on Thursday. And so they said, okay, what do we have to do, Laura? I said, I need you to go to someone that cares about you, your partner, your mom, your friend, business partner, whoever. You can ask multiple people, doesn't have to just be one. And this time, ask them what your special gift is and your superpower. I will tell you, when I was writing the book before the Thrive Thursday, I did this. I asked my husband, I asked someone that's worked for me, that's good friends of mine for 11 years. I asked people what they thought my superpower was. And the funny thing is, every one of them said the same thing about what I just shared with you. So, Julian, let me tell you what happened once they asked the people. The first week, I had a woman crying. And I'm like, whoa, what happened here? She said, Laura, I'm married 20 years to my husband. And I asked him that question. My husband said to me, you're the rock. You're the strength of our family. You're the person that no matter what happens, you always figure it out.
Oof.
She said, Laura, I never heard those words from my husband in 20 years. She said, that has changed me. And now I realize, now that I know my power, now I'm going to lean into it. And now I realize my place in my family, in my career. I'm the person everyone comes to when the going gets tough. How do we get help? So, Julian, I recommend ask some people that care about you and you'd be amazed. You will not be surprised by the answers. We all know, but we struggle with admitting it to ourselves.
I'm very curious now, actually. I'm sitting here thinking, what is my superpower? I think I have an idea, but I do want to test this and just ask it out. But I think I have a pretty good idea, at least three possibilities.
You do. And you can have more than one. It's not like we only have one. We have more than one, but we are usually dominant to one.
Yeah. I think I know what it is, though. So that's, wow. I felt that like I can imagine like 20 years and then one of the most important people in your life tell you that. Oh my goodness.
I mean, I will tell you when you hear it, especially when you hear it from someone that you, we as humans, we struggle with having those kind of conversations. And I don't know why. I don't know why we don't openly share things like that. You would think it would be so simple, but we don't. You know, we don't have those conversations. But when you go through the exercise, it's life-changing. Now, Julian, I have to tell you, I've had Thrive Thursday guests that after finding out their superpower, their businesses have changed, their personal life. Like literally, I have watched people come back to me say, you don't understand what knowing my superpower has changed in my life. Because now I'm embracing it instead of kind of, because we all have one, at least one. Some have more than one, but we all have it. There's not one person on this earth that doesn't have that special gift.
What do you think makes it so difficult? Because I think you're right about that, that we inherently know what makes us unique. We know what really lights us up. We know our superpower. But for some reason, it's like we just turn a blind eye to it and don't want to like acknowledge it. What do you think is so difficult?
I think let's go back, right? When we're children, when we're kids, right? We're 100% free to who we are. We have no limit. It's natural. But as we get older, as we go to school, as we're in friend groups, right? As we're being in more society, we are told, don't do that. That's not correct. Or be like Billy, Jimmy, Janie, Susie, you know, be like that. Or what did you say? Like how you introduced me and used the awards and things like that. follow what Laura does, because if you follow that, well, then you'll be happy. You'll have it all. That's not true, because my life should be different than your life. And true fulfillment is not ever wanting to be like anyone else. It's embracing who you are and living to your fullest superpower to share with the world, because that's how we are born. We are born to be our unique selves. But as we go through life, we're conforming. We are literally being fit into being like everyone else, or following our idols, who we see on social media, who we see on television, who we see being successful, the billionaires, whoever. We say, well, I must be doing something all wrong because I'm not fitting into that. So let me change this. Okay, this isn't working. I'm going to change. To be honest, your true fulfillment will never come if you're not embracing the gift you were actually born with. That's absolutely when the fulfillment happens.
Absolutely. And I think this is one of the reasons why you see people who seemingly have it all and their personal lives are in a shamble, or they're just not ever happy or fulfilled. And they're constantly searching for that next hit of dopamine or that next thing to kind of numb them and medicate them.
That is 100% correct. So, that's it. Wow, this is deep, Julian.
it just, you know, we're just going with the flow, and so saying yes every day, you know, yeah. I am, you know, when we talked beforehand, this has, I've consciously been trying to say yes more. I even have it on my little whiteboard here to say yes more. But what's the origin of saying yes every day? Wow.
There is a story. Here's the story. Okay, so here I am working my tail off, right? So I had success early, meaning in a career, right? So I had my goals. By 30, I was going to hit this. And, you know, so X, I'm going to make X by the time I was 30 years old. I accomplished it. I did exactly what I expected. Now, remember, I'm in the mortgage industry. So here I am in my mid-30s, and the mortgage industry's crashed. Boom, you know, we know what happened. Okay. Well, at that moment, that was a pivotal moment in my life where I had to decide what was I going to do next, because no one knew what companies were going to survive and which ones were going to go under. So at that time, I had a meeting with a gentleman that wanted to start up a new division. Never met him before. We meet face to face, and he says, Laura, here's the deal. I'll give you a shot. You can run the division any way you want, hire who you want. You could do whatever you want. But here's the caveat. No salary, no benefits. You pay for everything. you pay for everything. But if you're successful, you'll do very well. So at that moment, I called my husband, Tony, and I'm like, here's the deal. Now, remember, I've got a mortgage. I've got two kids. I've got the car. You know, I've got the American dream here of bills that we have. I don't have some big savings or anything. And I'm like, there's no salary. There's no, he's like, you're taking the job because I will bet on you any day. I took that job and I wound up making that company to one of the top 10 mortgage companies in the country and all that. But at a cost of working from 5:30 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, every single day, 7 days a week. I mean, I had no life. Work, work, work. And I did that from 2007 until 2018, just killing it of work. Okay. I focused, laser focus. Never left the office, literally chained to my desk. This was my life. But I built a top 10 mortgage company in the country. I did it. Okay, had everything, great. And then in 2018, something happened called margin compression. What that means is that although I was closing the same amount of loans, you were making a lot less. So technically, you would have to double your volume to make what you used to make because the compression of the market. Okay, so here I am. I'm Mama Bear, taking care of hundreds and hundreds of employees that I'm responsible for, and I need to figure out how to double my volume. Well, how the heck am I doing that? Well, at that time, a new mortgage organization popped up, okay? And I heard about this mortgage organization, and they were very big on social media. At that time in 18, I wasn't on social media. I wasn't on any social media. I was working. I was in the office all the time, okay? Well, this guy was heavy duty social, like, but booming. And I'm like, all right, I gotta get in with this group, because obviously this group is the place for me to get my business. So this guy, I stalked him. Email, phone calls, LinkedIn messages, Facebook messages, any which way, stalking this man. So finally, he says, what do you want? What do you want from me, Laura? So I said, I want in on this organization. So he comes and we meet, and he's like, hey, I'm having an event in California, first event. I want you on the stage moderating an event. And I'm like, of course, I'll be there. California, it's great. I never left the office, okay? As the time started getting closer, I got anxiety. I thought, what am I thinking? I'm in the office. I'm working my tail off. I don't go on stages. I don't speak to people. I work on mortgages. I tell one of my salespeople, hey, here's the deal. You're going to go to California. You're going to moderate this. He's like, of course. He said, yes. Well, the guy that runs the organization, he calls me. He's like, hey, I heard that you're going to get someone else. I said, oh, yeah, he'll be great. He'll be awesome. He said, Laura, no. You're going to California. You're getting on that stage. And I'm not taking a substitute. Julian, when you become an executive, no one tells you no. Everyone just agrees with you. And that man said no to me. Best thing that could have ever happened in my life. I went to California. I got up on that stage. Afterwards, I had a line of women waiting to speak to me. And I'm like, what is this? They said, Laura, we never see women executives on stage. They're always men. You're the first time that I saw someone that looked like me up there. You need to keep speaking. You need to keep sharing your message. It hit me. From there, a ripple happened. Interviews, magazines, more speaking events, a ripple. I started realizing every time I said yes, it led me to the next thing. I became president. I wasn't president when I started there. I then started women's groups. I became chairs. I started winning awards, one thing after another. And then I tested it. Started a blog in 2019. And I dedicated that every single day I will say yes to something, whether it's something monumental like winning an award or speaking or being on podcasts or whatever. Or maybe it's putting my phone away, not looking at social media. Maybe it's watching a movie with my grown children. Maybe it's a walk in the park with my husband, sitting under a willow tree having a conversation. But I will not let one day go by in my life ever again that I do not stop and think, what did I say yes to today?
That's a lot to just absorb there. Wow, I could just feel that. You know what's coming to my head when they see you on stage and they're like, I don't see people that look like you. You know, I can really,
I'm sure you can
that.
Relate to that.
Yeah, I can resonate with that in a lot of ways. And I'm curious because, you know, I'm not a woman, that to me it seems like, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. So for women especially, it seems it's career or family. And I feel like it's a little tougher It's like you have to pick one. Is that
Julian? Kind of- you must be reading my mind. You must be reading my mind because I mentioned to you that I'm working on, I'm going to be in another woman's book. Mm-hmm. And the name of that book, it's out in September. It's called The Future Female Leader. And the book is written to college girls or recent college graduates, female college graduates. So Julian, listen to this. You hit it head on. All right. So I speak at universities sometimes to women's groups, right? To the girls. And I spoke to a university in New Jersey, maybe 2 months ago. And we did a thing like this on a Zoom. And they said, Laura, tell us your story. You know, tell us your story. And yeah. So I tell them my story. And then I opened it up. And I said, guys, you can ask me anything. Don't be shy. Whatever you want to know, I'm an open book for you. Julie, very first question. First question. Mrs. Brandeo, do I have to choose between being an executive or a mom? I was crushed. I was crushed. Because I would have never thought that at 20 or 21, that the number one concern that those girls have is if they have to choose. So you are correct.
Yeah, I can definitely see that because, I guess the reason why I had that hunch is just that I just kind of see like men, it's easier to do those things.
Yeah, and you're a straight path.
Yeah, right. And then just through my family, you know, it's either you were the housewife or you had a high charging career, but you didn't necessarily have the house. And I was like, oh, this is kind of an interesting dynamic going on. But you know, so as we move on, let's talk about, you know, the last few years, you know, being most influential businesswoman, that sounds great. It didn't happen by accident. And especially like last year, you know, and I think you shared with me that was the most busiest year with the mortgage.
It was.
Industry, right?
That was literally the biggest production we've seen in the mortgage industry since before the subprime crash, you know, back, but that was a crazy time. But yes, that was the most production. Yes.
And I'm sure you have talked with probably numerous agents, numerous people about mindset during that time and doing business. So what have you been telling people?
Yeah, you know, and it's so interesting because I personally think mindset is the most important thing that you need to invest in yourself daily. You know, it should be just like your exercise, how you're taking care of your body and what you're putting into your body and how you're exercising your body. Your mind is just another muscle. Your brain is just another muscle. And how you treat that and how you take care of it will determine how you feel, just like your body. It's exactly the same. If you eat bad food and you don't exercise, you don't really feel very good. Same thing with your mind. If you are not feeding yourself positive things to listen to watch, to learn, to grow, if you are not investing in your mindset, you could easily turn into the couch potato just like your body and not having exercise. It's the same. But you have to be diligent about it. Again, it should be part of your exercise program. I mean, I don't know if I mentioned this last time when we spoke, but my routine every morning, one of the first things I grab are my AirPods. And why? The minute I wake up, I am listening to positive affirmations in my ear. The minute. First thing I reach for is my AirPods to stick it in my ear, because as I am getting ready, the second I get out of the shower, I put in my AirPods and I am listening to positive affirmations first thing. I do not look at my email or my social media until after I'm in the right frame of mind, and then I start my day. That's when I dive into my work and into everything else. Until my mind is exercised and ready to receive. Because if I see something negative, if I open up my email and I see a big problem that happened, my whole day, My whole day is going in that direction. So how you start your day, it's exactly the same as running on the treadmill or going for a jog outside or same exact thing.
You mentioned social media. What's your relationship with social media?
Well, it's fun. Yeah, it's funny because like I said, I had no social media until 2018. And so in 2018, I emerged, right? All of a sudden, this person that was a ghost, I was nothing. Mm-hmm. And then all of us, now I'm the most influential businesswoman to watch in 2021, from 2018 to 21. I have a very healthy relationship with social media because I am known as a very big encourager and a positive light to my community that I am in within social media. So people know that no matter what you put out there, I'm going to celebrate, I'm going to love on you, and I am going to bond in a relational way. So I use it as a way to form relationships, and I've formed some wonderful relationships. And I find that women especially, sometimes they put themselves out there because they need something, right? They need that little bit of encouragement, or they need someone to tell them that they're special or unique, or they did a great job, or we need that even more than I think the guys do. So I'm happy to be that person and I enjoy it.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, speaking about maybe seeking validation or anything, it's like one of the chapters in the book is that you are not what they told you, you know?
That is exactly right. So, and you can always emerge. So that's the other thing is that even if you're at one point, we're ever changing, right? There's always a metamorphosis. So even like, that's the thing is that people sometimes are afraid because they think whatever decision they make today, that's like the next 30 years. No, like don't be afraid to make that change or that decision because you're ever changing.
Yeah. And a big thing with, especially with what you just said there, and when it comes to social media, and I had to get my head around it, I was reminded maybe a day or two ago, is that the algorithms and those feeds are so, they move so fast that even if you put up something and it's not perfect or you don't like it, there's typos or whatever, it's going to move so fast that people are going to forget about it.
100%. Don't be afraid, but you should use it in your business. I will tell you, like right there, for me, remember I spoke about the 2018 and I needed to double my volume. Just so you know, I did. It worked. By me putting myself out there and having this relationship with my clients on social media, I doubled my volume of business. And all it took is me being authentic and being myself, because for years, the mortgage industry is male dominated. So people didn't see a lot of women with high energy emerging out of the mortgage industry. So I stood out. I was unique. I was different. So if I had tried to tone myself down to what I thought other people wanted to see, they wouldn't have connected with me. But I allowed myself to be myself. And people appreciated that and came and did business with me.
And you read my brain a little bit, because I was going to be a skeptic that maybe someone's out there that's listening and they were going to say, well, I don't have ideas to keep putting out on social. And you just said the best idea is just to be you.
Just you.
So what's in the future for you? What's in store?
So a few things. I mean, I am involved in so many wonderful different organizations on top of my regular business, where now I'm chairing a Women with Vision group, which is I'm literally looking at it as the Harvard Business School for mortgage women, because I am on a mission of not only empowering and lifting women in the mortgage industry, I'm on a mission to push them all up into executive levels and business owners within the next 10 years. So that's one thing I'm working on. In addition to, I'm a chair of a visionary program with NAMBA. What that is, that's bringing diversity and recent college graduates into my industry. So I'm on that mission of bringing in new talent and diverse talent to be inclusive within my industry. So that's another thing. I am working on my second book, which is actually Thrive Thursday, my podcast. I have 15 people that shared those superpowers and those stories I'm actually publishing their stories along with my own in my second book, Thrive Thursday. I'm also working on that chapter for the future female leader. So that is another thing that will be coming out in 2021. So lots of exciting things. It's the work will never be done, Julian. There will always be more. And there's lots of people to impact and a big difference we can make in our world.
Absolutely. There is no endpoint. And so, you know, that's a lot. So I'm sure somebody might be thinking, wow, this woman literally does everything. How do you keep your energy up, maintain your health and your routines and your family life? How do you do it all?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it starts with the mindset, right? Mm-hmm. And it starts with the routine. You said that word routine. I am extremely regimented. I mean, literally, I get up at the same time every day. I go to sleep at the same time every day. I literally, during the week, I eat the same meals every single, not the same one, but like on Monday, on Tuesday, mm-hmm. like my body is down to a science of when I exercise, what I eat. That works for me. Right. I'm not necessarily saying that works for everyone, but again, I'm very in tune with what my mind needs, what my body needs, and how to maximize my performance at all times. So I find that's what works for me, to always keep my energy up, always keep me on track, and keep my mind at the highest performance.
Yeah, that's music to my ears. So
does that work? You think that's correct?
I like it. I kind of have pretty much the same when it comes to like meals. It's pretty much just like my morning smoothie, oatmeal, yep. and then the next few meals is pretty regimented as well. And yep. I might swap a meat out and something, but other than that, it's pretty much the same. So mm-hmm.
there you go. It keeps us simple, but mm-hmm. yet it allows our bodies to know what to expect. And again, it's that peak performance. Mm-hmm. It's how to keep us at peak performance.
Exactly. And so as we start to wind this conversation down, let's just do a few random questions. So what does success mean to you?
Success always changes. Okay. It's funny. We mentioned about at 30, I wanted this, right? And at 40, I wanted this. Mm-hmm. I think success changes for every single person, depending on what season they are at, right? I feel that I know what success feels like, meaning I have hit all the targets that I always wanted to in my life. But most important to me is, how will the world remember me when I'm no longer on this earth? So I am very big into legacy right now, where I am all about teaching other people. I want what my thoughts are and what I've done in my life, I want it continued. I want to continue to build leadership in other people. My impact with my children, I am very, very close with my two grown boys, and I am investing into them living by some of these philosophies that have worked for me and continue it down the road into their families and beyond. So I've reached those, oh, you've gotten this, you've gotten mm-hmm. that, those checkpoints. Right now, that's not important anymore. I've done that, and that's wonderful, and it's great, and there's nothing wrong with it. But now I'm looking for ultimate fulfillment of leaving a legacy and being remembered long before I'm not on this earth anymore.
And what about the mortgage industry makes it so special that the common person wouldn't realize?
I get to bring families home every single day. That's what it's all about. I make an impact into people's lives of the biggest purchase where they're putting their children into that home. It's life-changing. And the other thing is that the best way to have generational wealth for your family is through real estate. A lot of people don't realize that, but it is the best way to have generational wealth within your family. But bottom line, I get to bring families home every single day.
Love that. Love that. And so this question might be very difficult. It might be a tough one. Who's in your all-time musical starting five? These can be groups, solo artists, and they can be dead or alive.
Oh my goodness. Oh, wait, I have to give you five of them? Five?
Are you a big music person?
I mean, listen, music is very, very important to me.
Or do you like movies?
It's okay. But it's funny because I think music ties very nicely into your mindset. Mm-hmm. right? I don't know if I'm going to name them, okay? Because this is tough. But I have my normal playlist, right?
Okay.
And depending on what I need, I listen to different types of music, right? And I'll give you an extreme example.
Okay.
All right, here's an extreme example. When I need to get pumped up, I actually listen to the Eminem song from 8 Mile because I just play back over and over. You have one shot. And if you have one shot, what would you do? Right. And that plays over because don't we all have one shot? We've got one shot in this life. What would we do with it? Right. If you know that you've got this, you've got this opportunity, what would you do? I remember I came out on a Vegas stage in front of 2,500 people to that song. They literally played that song as I came out on the stage. So music is very important to me, but I listen to different types of music depending on what I need. Sometimes I listen to, you know, soft music, and sometimes I need to be pumped up, but, you know, I don't necessarily want to name them, but but I use it differently depending on what I need in my life.
I like that. Well, now you just given me an idea now. So now I might start to change this up. I might ask the person their theme song.
Oh, yeah.
Or I might ask, what's the song that you listen to when you need to get your spirits back up?
Yeah. I mean, there's some of them. I mean, yeah. Of course, I'm going to go with the older songs, but like that Journey song, Don't Stop Believing, no matter how much, it doesn't matter what year it is. It doesn't matter. It's just when you listen to the words, you know, but I will also say, this might sound really random, but I love the soundtrack of Hamilton. I love the soundtrack of Hamilton. And I'm going to explain why. Because people will be like, what? Like, where do you come in with Eminem and then Broadway tunes, right? When I think of these guys coming together to go against England, to start a new country, they have no electricity. They certainly don't have any internet. They don't have any connection, right? Like, they're on horses. And these guys come up with the idea, you know what? We're going to break away and we're going to just fight war against them and we're going to build our own country. And I think to myself, no matter what I'm doing right now, it's not that hard. It is not that hard. So if their leadership could get us to start a whole new country, what am I complaining about? I can lead a team. I can lead a group. I can make a change because you know what? They're no better than I am.
I like that. I like that. That's kind of like a concept that I have in my head. I have extreme mentors. So
if I think
something's really hard or like, oh, this is getting really difficult, I think about just certain different people in history. And I
love the history.
And I think about their situation. I'm like, well, if they could overcome that and, you know, things are not so bad right now. I got the internet. I can email, call somebody for help now. They didn't even have none of that. So I don't think it's that bad. I'm going to be quiet.
That's right.
Yep. So I like that. So the next question here is, pretend you got a bottle of wine or tea, coffee, whatever your beverage of choice is, and there's 3 seats available to join you for a roundtable discussion.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I got to think of who I'm giving the seats to.
who's gonna join you for a discussion? And it has to exclude friends and family.
Okay. This is weird, but I always, always, always have a dream of sitting down with Oprah.
Okay.
So Oprah is definitely one. I just read Obama's book. So I absolutely think I would love Obama. And then I think, and it was dead or alive. Is it dead or alive?
Dead or alive.
I think probably Steve Jobs.
Okay. Okay.
I think it would probably be Steve Jobs. But yeah, I do have a thing of one day I certainly want to meet Oprah. Mm-hmm. I just her story of just, you know.
So I see visionaries, pioneers, leaders, all of which is you. It's a reflection of you.
Shouldn't it always be?
This question is undefeated. It always perfectly matches up with who that person is inside.
That makes sense.
So the last question here is, somebody comes and taps you on the shoulder and they're like, Laura, I saw one of your videos. I made the decision. I want to be successful. I want to really go after it. And she's going to ask you, what are 3 things that I can do today to start becoming a superhuman entrepreneur? What would you tell her?
So I think everything starts with you. Mm-hmm. You have to, because Julian, this goes back to what we were saying before. Unfortunately, most humans think that someone can give them the magic wand answer of how to become successful. They can't. I don't care how much you pay them. I don't care what program they're packaging up to convince you that they've mm-hmm. got the answer. They don't. No one has any magic answer. But boy, is there a big, huge industry that's trying to sell people on them believing that they have the answer. They don't. Okay? So the very first thing I would say is, number one, why do you want to be an entrepreneur? Mm-hmm. Why? What do you think being an entrepreneur means? What do you think you're going to receive by being an entrepreneur? Because if you come to me and you say, oh, well, I want the flexibility and I want to be my own boss and I don't want to have to follow other people and I want to be able to make unlimited amounts of money, you're probably doing it all for the wrong reasons. That's not the reasons why you should be looking to be an entrepreneur. So the very first thing would be looking inside of yourself and as to what you are truly looking for. Because until you know that, no one can help you. And there are no magic answers. So you have to get in tune with knowing you first. Mm-hmm. The second is your why. Why do you want to do it? And then what are you trying to do? What is the true passion behind what you're looking to do? Because if you haven't done any of that, nothing I tell you is going to be effective. You're going to give up on it. As soon as I say it, you'll be on to the next person thinking they have the answer. Mm. So it starts with you.
That's an awesome way to bookend this conversation. This has been an awesome conversation. I am excited to go back and listen to it when I can just focus more on the conversation. And so, Laura, where can listeners keep up with you?
Absolutely. Well, certainly, please feel free to connect to me on social. So that's certainly one place I'm very active and happy to connect. My website is laurabrandeo.com. That pretty much links you to everything. My podcast, Thrive Thursday, where I am, what's happening, articles, everything. Say yes. Everything about me, laurabrandeo.com.
Awesome to hear. And I will have all that in the show notes. And to the listeners out there, stay awesome, be limitless, and go be superhuman. Peace.
If you are a high-performance entrepreneur, leader, or executive looking to supercharge your energy and become the most enhanced version of yourself without the guesswork, and you're tired of cookie-cutter templates, randomly guessing and hoping the next thing will work, and you actually want a precise and bespoke health optimization and performance roadmap that is in-depth, data-driven, and custom-tailored specifically for you, then my superhuman coaching programs are probably a good fit for you. No stones will be left untouched. Now, it's not a good fit for you if you are someone who does not want to invest the time, the commitment, nor the energy into getting the results. But if you are someone who is ready to start their N of One journey, upgrade their body and brain with precision, and truly live a limitless life, I invite you to apply by heading over to theartoffitnessinlife.com/us, and you'll get the opportunity to talk with me for 60 minutes, and we'll take a deep dive into where you currently are and where you're trying to go, and then we'll decide if this is a good fit for you and me. And if it is, I'll extend an invitation for us to work together. Once again, to apply, head over to theartoffitnessinlife.com/us. I look forward to hearing from you.